Ingles, Cephalosha, and Gobert. Donovan steps behind the three-point line, fires, and hits. 26 points for the rookie from Louisville.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 3rd of November. Defense, and more defense. The role of Jarebko, a pack Friday, and a look at the Raptors. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you expertise, insight, data, geeky stats, all sorts of stuff that you simply cannot get anywhere else to make you a better fan. That's it. You can get it on iTunes, on Google, on your Android, on your Google Home, your Alexa, on Spotify, all around the internet world. So thanks so much for tuning in. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai as well as Stevens Henniger College. Those are the two that are nice enough to bring us the show today. Let's dig in right away. Jazz Raptors tonight. If you don't have tickets already, they are available. Hope to see you out there. And then Philadelphia Tuesday is Ben Simmons. And as I've said a few times, everybody says he's magic. I had the scout on Locked On NBA. I brought that up and he didn't laugh at me. And he likes to laugh at me. So pretty incredible comparisons. I think it's worth coming out to see him next Tuesday night if you get the chance. So I said, mentioned this yesterday, alluded to it, that I actually think the Jazz defense is better than what we've seen so far. And I didn't quite know how to try to prove it, but my thought was that we've played some of the best teams, offensive teams in the league. The only reason it might not seem that way is because they played us. So that inside of a small sample size, they have this game against us that knocks down who they are and what their efficiency is. So what I did last night, and it's posted up on LockedOnJazz.net. That's LockedOnJazz.net. is I went through all of the teams we've played, compared what their offensive rating is in the games that they haven't played us compared to the game in which they did play us. So in other words, when you look at the Jazz defense and you compare it to the fact that Denver, for example, who's just on fire offensively in the last few games, had an offensive rating of 98.7 against us. And in all games, not including the Jazz, they're 107.3. So there's an 8.6 differential. In other words, if you were to look at Denver right now and where they rank offensively in the NBA, and I did this before Portland's game last night, just in all fairness. So if you look at Denver right now, Denver ranks 7th in the league offensively at 106.3, but if they didn't play the Jazz, they'd be 4th. You take a look at Minnesota, they're currently ranked 8th in the league offensively. If they didn't play us and have the game they had against us, they'd be ranked 5th. Because the game against us, the best defensive team in the league, is skewing the numbers. Oklahoma City, who I've been down on all year, and this makes me wonder, if they take out our game, is 5th offensively. You suddenly look at it, Denver was 8.6 points per 100 possessions below what they usually are, or in all games not including us. Minnesota was 5.2 behind. Oklahoma City was 17.1 behind. The Clippers were about even. Phoenix was 4.5 behind. The Lakers were 10.1 behind. Dallas was 7.8 behind, and Portland was 14.1 behind usual. So in a sample size of 8 games, which isn't great, the Jazz are holding their opponents at 8.5 points per 100 possessions below what they regularly do. That's 8.5 points per 100 possessions below their regular season average. Looking back over the last 6 years, that's more than any of the best teams in the league. San Antonio was 5.4 better than the mean team last year. The year before, they were 7.3 better. Golden State was 7.8 better. Indiana was 7.4 better in 13-14. Indiana in 12-13 was 6.4 better. Chicago in 11-12. And furthermore, as we touched on yesterday's program, if you look at Oklahoma City and Boston, the two teams that are ranked ahead of the Jazz, both of them have outliers that make you believe they're going to come back. Boston, Oklahoma City's opponents are shooting 31% from above the break threes. Boston's opponents are just shooting 31% from three. Now, our corner three is a little unusual. Teams are 10 of 28, but when I extrapolate that out for how few we allow, few times we allow a corner three, it should cost us only about a point a game. Maybe a point and a half. Whereas Boston and Oklahoma City's abnormalities could cost them 4 to 5 points a game. So there's a chance that this Jazz defensive team really might be even better than we think it is right now. The offense is going to scuffle all year. We're exactly who we thought we were going to be, to quote the great Denny Green. I think that's who it was. The late, great Denny Green. We are exactly who we thought we were going to be. We just might actually be better offensively than we thought we were going to be. Now, defensively. The other one that I didn't get into in the article, at some point you've got to move on and do other things in your day, is if you look at what our defense is after actions. Huh? What are you up to now? All right, so if you think about it offensively, there's really kind of three things in which you can have happen that you're moving into defense. You're either moving into defense after a made shot, you're moving into defense after a missed shot, or you're moving into defense after a turnover, live ball turnover. You also could be moving into after a dead ball turnover, but they're very different. So if you look at those numbers, which I'm trying to find for you, and it's not working right now, the Jazz, I'll just tell you, the Jazz defensive numbers after turnovers are terrible. After everything else are remarkable. In other words, if the Jazz control the turnover issue that they have right now, they're going to suddenly be even better than we think they're going to be. So if you look at the Jazz right now defensively, after a made shot, I got it to work. After a made shot, the Jazz are the second best defense in the league at 0.94 points. And we're making teams use the 25th most amount of time. After a defensive rebound, so in other words, we miss, which we do a lot. Actually, we don't. We turn it over a lot. We're at 0.92 points per possession, number one in the league, and we make them hold it for 12 seconds. Our transition defense is exceptional. However, when we turn the ball over, we're 22nd in the league at 1.3 points per possession. So, again, trying to look at this understanding average, league average after a made shot, or the mean, is about one. The median is actually about 1.01, and we're 0.93, so we're 0.08 better. After a defensive rebound, the median's about 1.04, so 0.03, and we're at 0.92. We're even better. I mean, we're 0.1. But after a turnover, we're worse than the average defense. We're 0.1 worse. So if we control the turnovers, these defensive numbers get even better. Boston, who's the number one defense in the league, is sixth best after the shot, second best after defense rebound, third best after turnover. Oklahoma City is fourth after a made shot, seventh after defensive rebound, 15th after a turnover. It almost might lead you to believe we're having bad luck over turnovers, or what it really is we commit really, really bad turnovers. The other defensive team to keep an eye on that's probably up into this ballpark of being that good is Memphis. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. That is Blake and the crew over at 4646 South State Street. I've gotten to know them through this and really enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure to get to know the family. Tyson over at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, and Blake, who have now played golf with a bunch of times and really had a nice time getting to know. The Murdoch family has been in the car business for 91 years in Utah. Take great, immense pride in the fact that when you leave their dealership, you feel like you've been touched by their family. More importantly for me is the Hyundai. And what I've experienced driving the Santa Fe and the Tucson and the Ioniq is that this is a car that you get amazing, amazing value for your dollar. The Santa Fe, with all of its safety features and sport and the way it drives, is just as nice a car as I've ever driven. There's a story that they told me on the first day when I got there about Robbie Bosco looking for a Lexus, and he ends up in their Linden store and he buys a Hyundai instead. And at the time, I'm thinking they're nuts. It makes total sense. You get everything for $20,000 less. That's what you find out with Hyundai. You get the Hyundai Assurance 100,000-mile warranty. You get this remarkable car, and it's costing you, you know, sometimes as much as a third of the price. Check it out. Put it on your list. You do what you want to do for the car and what car. It's all very personal. I remember when I was buying a car many, many, many years ago, I did all the research in the world, and the Honda Passport was unquestionably the right car to buy, and I just did all the research, as you'd expect, and I got on the lot, and I was just, I'm literally like about to write the check, and I look at the car, and I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like the way, and I end up driving down the street and buying the Acura MDX, which was basically the same car, just looked a little better, and it was more expensive, but I didn't like the other car. So, like, you've got to like it yourself. I think they look good. I'm driving the Ioniq Hybrid right now. It looks totally sporty, but at least add it to your list so that you have an idea of what the car offers. All right. I want to talk a little bit about Jarebko. I thought his performance the other night was great. 8.7 rebounds. Plays so hard. Very versatile defensively in the sense you can switch him 1 through 4. You know, I think there's some levels where I think we're going to struggle late in games that we did the other night. But I'm not entire. You know, Joe was struggling. And Jarebko does some other things, and it also allows us to slide into that Cephalosha at the four lineup that we saw the other night. Toronto's going to throw some really fast lineups out on the floor at us. And I thought that Cephalosha, Ingles, Mitchell, Rubio lineup, which obviously could have Rodney if he's not having such a bad day offensively, I thought that was a pretty cool lineup that you could put together and see if it and play again. And I thought Jarebko with Udo for a few minutes had a really neat defensive kind of movement to it, and then Favors is moving really well also. I don't know how long I was looking at our popcornmachine.net, which if you haven't looked at, is just awesome. In Jarebko's first stint, he plays with Udo. He doesn't play with Udo at all. He plays only in that first stint with Rudy. And we were plus 10 in that stretch. Then they don't match him to Udo at all. They match him in the next stretch back to Rudy. And we're plus 0. Then in the fourth quarter, he plays with Udo. It doesn't work great. In that stretch, they're a minus 2. I mean, it's really kind of immaterial. But I thought it had a neat element. Then he comes back and he plays with Favors. And it's plus 7, maybe plus 4 with Favors. He played another minute with Udo there that was plus 3. So Jarebko, what I thought was cool is in this outing, he played with all three centers. Rolled Favors as the 5 for a little while the other night. And I think that's Quinn being astute to realize he and Rudy weren't working together. First stint of Rudy and Faves was minus 6. Second stint of Rudy and Faves was minus 3. Realize, hey, I'm not closing with that lineup. Let me get Faves back in the game in a different manner. That's high-level stuff from Quinn. All right, let's look at Pack Friday. I did ask a late question on Twitter, so I'll check in a second. See, the 5 hottest, let's go to the top 10. Again, if you've never been a part of Pack, it's proprietary to Locked On Jazz. It is, and actually I'll probably share it with some of the shows, it is points above average created. The concept is that you, if Steph Curry is using 20 scoring opportunities a night, and the average player in the NBA used those same 20 scoring opportunities, how many more points would Steph score than the average player? And just to put it in perspective, over the last few years, the best in the game, Durant last year at 3.8, Isaiah at 3.4, it's just for one night. Steph, in his incredible year, was 5.8, Durant was 4.1, Harden was 2.8. So we usually have one or two players over three, seven or eight over two. Right now, they're all a little higher. Steph is at 5.7. Steph is playing better basketball right now than he did in his MVP season. His true shooting percentage is 61%. Excuse me, his true shooting percentage is 69%, and his effective field goal percentage is 61%. It's incredible. 5.7 pack for Steph. He's shooting 45% of his shots as threes. Adetokounmpo is number two at 5.3. LeBron, for all this talk, no one's talking about LeBron and how amazing he is right now. LeBron is shooting 59% from the field, 4.4 pack. Evan Fournier, 4.4 pack. Kevin Durant, 4.1 pack. Those are the top five. Aaron Gordon is carrying Orlando, as is Evan Fournier, is the sixth best. Kemba Walker, having a blow-up year, is the seventh best. Eighth is DeMarcus Cousins. Ninth is Anthony Davis, and they're still losing all the time. Clint Capella is 10. Otto Porter, off the contract, is 11. Steven Adams is 12. Karl-Anthony Towns is 13. Rudy is 14. Victor Oladipo is 15. Bielitsa in Minnesota is 16. Kelly Olynyk in Miami, having a great year, 17. Brandon Paul for San Antonio in limited minutes, 18. Ennis, 19. Tony Snell, 20. It's kind of interesting. Clay, I'm keeping going because these are all still plus two. These are guys having great years. Clay Thompson, Kyle Korver, Darren Collison, Blake Griffin, Jonathan Simmons, Langston Galloway, and Domantas Sabonis. What happens if those guys are good because they're not playing? And then Jason Tatum, by the way, right in there. The scout yesterday on Locked On NBA said Jason Tatum is the best rookie he's seen other than Ben Simmons. Who are the guys having brutal offensive years to start the year? Who are the worst offensive players? Most negative impact. So there's a level you've got to use a bunch of possessions here. Lance Stevenson. Chris Dunn's only played two games. Lonzo Ball is the second worst offensive player in the NBA. Justin Holiday in Chicago. Marcus Smart. J.R. Smith. Ersan Ilyasova, Markel Fultz before he got hurt, Jared Jack in New York, De'Aaron Fox, who the scout talked about as well as a rookie on Locked On NBA, Chris LeVert, Terrence Ross in Orlando, Denzel Valentine in Chicago, Donovan Mitchell in Utah are the worst, most negatively impactful offensive players, Dennis Smith and Patty Mills, Manu Ginobili, Frank Ntilikina, the rookies. Dario Saric, that should be a little disturbing if you're Philly. Dante Cunningham, DeJounte Murray, Yusuf Nurkic in Portland, that should be a little concerning. Zach Randolph, I'm just doing people that are now below two. Buddy Hield, Jaren Grant in Chicago, Fred VanVleet in Toronto, who we'll see tonight, and that's it. Andrew Wiggins is right there, minus 1.9. You know, Kevin Arnovitz and Kevin Pelton had a debate of whether you'd rather have Rodney Hood or Andrew Wiggins. And I texted both of them with all sorts of comments to that. But if Andrew Wiggins is a minus 1.9 pack player, maybe they're right. Let's look at the Jazz here in a second. But first, I want to talk to you about a new sponsor, Stevens Hennigar. So if you're heading to work today, and like we're honest about it, you don't love it, you don't really know where it's going, you don't know what the next step is, you feel like you're kind of stuck in a rut a little bit, then Stevens Hennigar is a really interesting, really, really interesting answer for you. It's an opportunity and a chance for you. I met with them this week to understand kind of what they do and who they are. I've never been to Stevens Hennigar. I don't want to mislead in some capacity there. But it was first thing that jumped out to me was the level of pride that they had when they were talking about Steven Senninger. So they want to help students get a better job sooner. I mean, they're gonna work extremely hard to keep you in school. They have the services to do that, and they're going to try to help you. If you try, they have the support, and they'll get it going. You have a three-week dating period with Steven Senninger, basically, which is, if you don't like it, it's not going to work. There's no cost. So you go there for 3 weeks and decide, you know what, that's not in me. And they can decide, too, frankly, that you don't look like you're the type who's going to get enough work. But I think you are. So if you already have you're working, you already have a family, you need a career change, you're missing that degree, whatever it might be, you're looking for a little bit of better life, Steven Senninger may be a very legitimate offer for it. Text keyword 88588. That's 88588. Or visit youineducation.com. That's youineducation.com. That's keyword 88588. Text keyword to 88588 and see what it does. Do you have 4 weeks? Can you get it started? 4 weeks programs. And by the way, if you don't have the resources, they give you a laptop, which you get to keep upon graduation. Okay, so they're really helping you out. Smaller class sizes. Check it out. If you're going to work today and you're like, not again. Steven Senninger very well may be the answer for you. All right, let's look at PAC. Let's look at PAC for the Jazz. This could be ugly. This is not a great offensive team, and we're going to see why. All right, so the best PAC player on the team is Rudy Gobert at 2.9. It's really good. Ricky Rubio is the second best at 1.1. Tabo Sefolosha is at 0.9. He's better than anyone realizes. Jonas Jerebko is at 0.9 in his three games. Joe Ingles is at 0.7. Rodney Hood's at 0.2. That's not bad for Rod. Rod has struggled on this metric because he doesn't go to the free throw line much. But even with that game the other night, Rodney's best year was the 15-16 season. He was an even pack player. So now he's at 0.2. So now this gets this, like, to the Andrew Wiggins, Rodney Hood debate. There might be something to it. So Rod's at 0.2. Favors is at even, which is a nice step up. Remember, Favors a year ago was considerably negative with just lack of health. Eric's finishing at 80% around the rim. He was 60% last year. Derek last year was a negative 0.8 pack. Alec Burks is a negative 0.1, which is good for AB. Last year, AB was minus 0.7. The year before, AB was minus 0.5. The year before that, Alec was minus 0.3. So nice step for Alec. Neto's minus 0.2. Royce O'Neal's minus 0.8. Epe Udo's minus 0.9. Joe Johnson's minus 1.4. Quite honestly, the move out of minus 1.4 for a little while he gets healthy is a big step. And then Donovan Mitchell's minus 2.6. So Donovan Mitchell's negative is the same as Rudy Gobert's positive. But if Donovan Mitchell can get this thing to minus 1.5, which would be really good for a rookie. I mean, rookies are negative. I know we love them and they're our hope and we believe in them. But if you start running through, if I were to do this right now, this could be a bit cumbersome. So hang with me on this. Jordan Bell is the best rookie right now, 2.0. Jason Tatum is at 1.9. This could, as I said, be a bit cumbersome because I'm running through. I don't have a sort. Lauri Markkanen is a 1.4. Boy, that's good, and he's got a huge usage rate too. Oh, not so bad. Is he more than Tatum? Yeah, he is more than Tatum. That's really impressive what Lauri Markkanen's doing in Chicago. Keep heading down for more rookies, and you just don't find them. Daniel Theis, I don't know how you pronounce it, in Boston is a 1.0, another rookie. Boston's got them all. Might be the system. I'm still here. I'm just looking, and I'm trying not to say all the time. Yabusele in Boston is a 0.8. These are the only positive rookies are all in Boston. Jason Hart for the Lakers is 0.7. He's good. Late second round pick. That's a steal. Jonathan Isaac in Orlando is a 0.6. Good to see for him. Still scanning. There's a lot of players in this league. Porzingis, by the way, is a 0.4, which is with his rate right now is pretty hard to. It's pretty impressive considering what they're asking out of him. His usage rate, I think, is number one in the league right now. Mario Hezonja, who Orlando's giving up on, is even worth taking a note. I might be willing to play around with that if I or someone. TJ Leaf in Indiana is 0.1. John Collins in Atlanta is 0. Thornwell in the Clippers is 0. So that's it. I mean, that's it for guys that are above average. Ike in Indiana's minus 0.1. Yes, I ducked pronouncing his last name. Olajay in Boston is minus 0.2. Don't worry, we're stopping here. Like one or two more. See if we get it. Markel Fultz. Ben Simmons is minus 0.3. Which is probably exactly, you know, kind of who he is, but creates for other people. Adebayo in Miami is minus 0.4. So that's, I mean, and a lot of these just aren't using a lot of possessions. So if you're a guy like Donovan who's using a lot of possessions, you're going to be minus 1.5 or so. But if he could pick that up, Luke Kennard's minus 0.7. You know, you keep your minus down if you don't use a lot of possessions. If you don't shoot much, you're going to keep that your negative pack is going to stay in a reasonable spot. If you're like Donovan, it's going to be extensive. All right, so that's where the Jazz sit. And then finally, looking at Toronto, few notes on Toronto. Kyle Lowry last year was one of the few three-point shooters in the league to be better off the dribble than off the catch and shoot. He was number two in the NBA on the pull-up three last year behind C.J. McCollum. Serge Ibaka is 18 of 19 in the paint this year. DeMar DeRozan is 55% in the mid-range. DeLon Wright's just 4 of 19 above the break three. OG Anunoby, their rookie, is 4 of 15 on the corner three. And they are coming to this game offensively as the 8th best team, defensively as the 8th best team. They looked so good against Portland and so bad against Denver. They're playing a very different game. They're taking shooting a ton of threes. They're taking the fourth most amount of threes in the league, but they're 29th in percentage. They've changed how they're playing, and they've got this athletic bench that comes after you. This would be a great win if the Jazz could get this one. Holy smokes, go to 6-3. And another huge offensive test. I mean, the Jazz just have huge tests. Toronto, Houston, Brooklyn, Minnesota still coming up. Tickets are available tonight. Hope you'll come out and join us. And by the way, I don't know if you did draft this week, but the promo code is LOJAZZ. I'm finding it super fun. I was actually, like, I might play more than I'm playing. It is super fun. The snake draft is great, and actually me and my buddies are going to actually used to have a fantasy football league. We're going to do the football together this weekend. So draft app promo code LOJAZZ. You get a bunch back on your deposit. So go check it out. I love that game. See you guys. This has been a fun show. I hope you enjoyed it.